Well, it's good to see those of you who are here. Mm-hmm. It's good that you made it back.
Yeah, man.
We got us a horn honking in the parking lot.
Yeah,
but that's all right.
It worked.
I hope it ain't mine. Could be, though. But we'll figure it out here in a minute. But as I said, it's good to have you all here. And as you've noticed, Brother Harmon is not here. He's our regular minister. And he's missed when he's not here. Brother Harmon is such an integral part of what goes on here at the Apple Valley Church of Christ.
Amen.
But Jeremiah did a wonderful job preaching.
Yes,
he's becoming quite the preacher, I think.
Yes.
I'm real proud of Jeremiah and his progress in presenting the word and his enthusiasm for it. And together, maybe we can all grow and be more pleasing to the Lord than we have been in the past.
Amen.
You know, I like to, when I do speak, I like to present lessons that are on the positive side, that are uplifting, things that, you know, that we could be happy about. But not everything that we have to consider in the Bible is in that realm, is it? There's some things that are very somber, they're very serious that we need to think about. And even those things don't have to be negative, can be presented in a positive way. And that's what I'm going to try to do this afternoon. And I'm not going to talk very long. And Darla's not here, but she says I always say that. And I guess I do, but I don't plan to talk very long. You know, I've found over the years that the very best gospel preachers that I've ever heard, they can preach an hour and get away with it, but that's pretty rare. And I'm not one of those, and I recognize that. So if I preach an hour, I've just gone too long. But let's try not to do that.
Okay.
Should I quit now? No. Christopher Short was 2 months old when it happened to him. And Kevin Lott was 7 years old, riding a bike with his sister in the yard when it happened to him. Mike Black was 16 years old, riding a motorcycle to see his girlfriend when it happened to him. Mark Stevens was 18 years old, on his way home from the prom when it happened to him. Mike Golden was in his early 20s. One morning while taking a shower, it happened to him. Chris Sagan, man of his 40s, with a family, promising career, yet it happened to him too. Dale Earnhardt, famous, rich, race car driver. You remember him, don't you? He faced it in turn 4, the Daytona Speedway.
Oh, okay.
Princess Diana, rich, beautiful, yet she faced it as well.
Amen.
All of these people faced it and lost.
Yeah.
We know what we're talking about, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Rachel Scott, Cassie Bernal. It happened to all of them. What should have been a normal day at school didn't end the way she'd planned. Ronald Reagan, Alexander the Great, powerful people, very powerful men, all faced the same thing. Moses, David, Peter, Paul, John, they all faced it. And brothers and sisters, unless the Lord comes back to take us to be with him, mm-hmm. we're going to face it too.
Amen.
We're going to face it. There's no escape. We will all become entangled in the cold grip of death.
Amen.
Like I said, I don't want to be negative, and I don't think death for a Christian, if we view it as God would have us to, it's really a negative thing.
Amen.
But it is something that we very seriously need to think about. Now, death doesn't care who you are.
Amen.
Your time's coming. It doesn't care how old you are.
No.
Young folk think they're going to live forever, but they're not. They might not live any longer. You know, we might outlive them. We just don't know what's going to happen.
Amen.
We assume a lot, even as older people. You know, death doesn't care how powerful you are or how much money that you have. Steve Jobs spent a ton of money just to live a little bit longer. You know, he didn't want to die. He did the best he could to stay alive and use his money for that. But you know what? He died anyway. We're all going to die. Now, I say this, intellectually, we are aware of this. We know that, don't you?
Amen.
You know you're going to die. Amen. Even young Jeremiah, you know you're going to die, don't you? We all know that. But the older you get, and if you've had an encounter in which you have faced death, the title of the lesson, by the way, is Looking Death in the Eye. And I've kind of had that kind of an encounter. You've had an opportunity to consider your mortality. And the fact is, you know I'm going to die, but then you face it, and you say, you know what? I really am going to die, and it could be very soon, right? Then death becomes a reality to us.
Amen.
You know, you can get plastic surgery, look younger. There's all kinds of stuff they can do that you can deceive yourself and other people to appear to be younger than you are. You can take vitamins by the handful until you rattle when you walk, right? You can exercise, you can run marathons, but you'll never be fit enough to defeat death.
Amen.
You're going to die anyway. We don't like to talk about it. I don't particularly like to talk about death, but we must. We must get the message across to each other as Christians because we need to be ready.
Amen.
And most of us aren't. Would you agree with that?
Amen.
I'm not talking about out there. I'm talking about us who claim to know the Lord and to be a child of God. We're not ready, most of us. Well, you're going to die. What's wrong with you? Why wouldn't we be ready? I might die tomorrow, really. And so might you. We've got to be ready. And so we should be ready, but we should be carrying to the message to those who aren't ready outside, making them into Christian, making them into children of God so that they can be ready too.
Amen.
With every breath we take, see, this is the thing. You take a breath, you know what? That's one less breath. You only have a number. And I don't know what it is, but I know you have a limited number of breaths that you're going to draw in. And every time you draw one in, that's one less.
Amen.
One less day to live.
Right.
And considering death's certainty, maybe we should behave a little differently. Today I want us to explore just a few realities about death, about judgment, and about the afterlife. And what we should be doing in light of these facts. Now, the first thing I want to look at is Job 14:10 says, "A man dies and is laid away. Indeed, he breathes his last. And where is he?" When you lay on that bed and you know that the next breath you breathe might be your last, you know you're dying, the question has to come to mind, where am I? And I don't mean where am I as far as your physical location on this globe. Most of us would be aware of that. I'm talking about where I am in the grand reality of it all. Where do I stand? What did it all mean? What was it all about? What did I walk around on this earth for however many days that I did? What did I do that for? What does it mean? We all faced, that's reality, right? We faced the reality of death. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 and 2. To everything, there is a season. We're familiar with this, aren't we?
Right.
a time for every purpose under heaven. A time to be born. And brothers and sisters, there's a time to die.
Amen.
And you have that time. You've got an appointment. We all have an appointment. It's a settled issue. This isn't something, even non-believers, this isn't something to debate. We accept that one day we're going to breathe our last breath. Since Adam and Eve fell in the garden, death has been a settled issue. The time is coming. There's no escape from death. There's a story, I don't know how true it is, but I'll relate it anyway. W.C. Fields was, I heard, thumbing through a Bible, right? And when asked what he was doing, he responded that he was looking for loopholes, right? Well, brothers and sisters, there's no loopholes.
That's right.
There's just, I encourage you to thumb through your Bible. I encourage you to read it. Look for the loopholes, because what you're going to discover is that there aren't any loopholes. Now, we've heard the saying that only things for certain is death and taxes. Well, now, there's some loopholes in the tax system, right?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And if you work it right, you might not have to pay any taxes at all. You can surely lower your taxes, but not so with death. There's no loophole. There's no way to get out of it. You know that.
Amen.
We just won't. It's a set time. God knows when we're all going to die. God knows the day. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Psalms 139:16. God knows. He knows everything about us. He knows when we're going to be born, and he knows when we're going to die, and he knows what we do with the time in between. The Hebrews writer said that it is an appointment, and so it is. I've ever missed an appointment?
Yes.
I have. You know, doctors don't like it when you miss appointments. But, you know, that's an appointment you're not going to miss. You'll be there.
Amen.
You'll be there whether you want to be there or not. You're going to stand before God, and you're going to answer for what you've done in this body. The Bible tells us that God has determined the number of my days. Have you thought about that? How long you're going to live?
Yeah.
I think, yeah, you think about it, brothers?
Yeah,
I do.
Now and then,
right. Because, you know, we know that the day is coming. And when I was in the hospital, knowing that, I had full confidence in the doctors, and the surgery that they do nowadays is very, very successful, but some people die from it.
Amen.
Right? And you know that going in. You know the possibility is that you could die and not come out of there.
That's right.
So it causes you to wonder when you do come out, or not to wonder, but to consider why God has allowed me to live longer. And you know, I know why.
Yes.
Same reason you're alive. He's not done with you.
Yep.
If you're not a Christian, you're not living the way you ought to, he's merciful.
Amen.
He's waiting for you to wake up and do what you know you should do.
Amen.
If you are a Christian and you have been serving him faithfully, he's got more work for you to do. And that's why we're here. God has a plan for us all. He's determined when we will die. And one day, you know, I got my little thing here that I'm using to record, and I got a calendar on there, and I got appointment things and reminders and all of these, you know. Well, death is not on there. You know why? Because I don't know. It would be on there if I knew when it was going to be, but it's on God's calendar.
Amen.
You know, it's coming up. The day's coming when you're going to die. And it will be, that day it will be on your to-do list. Let's see, I'm going to do this, okay, and now I'm going to die, right? We're going to. All of us, we're going to. It is a single event. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, which I could. There's no reincarnation, brothers and sisters. That's kind of, or any other thing along those lines, where if you don't get it right this time, the next time around, whatever you come back as, maybe you can do better or worse. There's none of that. The Bible does not teach that. It's not in the Word of God. You know, you don't get a second chance to get your karma right. It's a one-time deal. Once around. I'm tempted to say in a lifetime, but it's really an eternity. Which is a concept that just, I get confused when I begin to think about eternity, because you can't, you really can't comprehend it. But there's one chance, and we can understand that. We will all face the certainty, not only of the reality of death, but judgment as well. We don't like judgment, do we?
No.
I mean, we like to... be the judges. Yeah, there you go, sister. We like to be the ones that do the judging, but I don't like to be judged, do you? I don't like somebody to appraise what I've done or what I've said or how I've behaved and then come to me and say, well, you know, you could have done better and that's not so bad, or you were wrong, or you shouldn't have said that, you shouldn't have done that. And sometimes, you know, people should do that in a loving, kind way. Hopefully that's the way we approach it. But we need to be careful when we're the ones doing the judging. But we are going to be judged.
Yeah.
Ecclesiastes 3:17. God shall judge the righteous and the wicked. For there is a time there for every purpose and every work. What happens after we die? That's a question, isn't it?
Yeah.
Everybody wants to know that. What happens after we die? Well, the verse we just read, if you believe God's word, tells you, you're going to be judged. Mm-hmm. I don't care what you did, you're going to be judged. If you pass the test, God will determine that. If you don't, he will determine that as well. You're going to be judged. The Bible tells us plainly that we're not going to hang around in limbo, waiting for somebody to do whatever it is that they do to get us out of purgatory. That's not a Bible concept. We will face judgment when we die. That is a Bible concept. The saved will be escorted into the presence of the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with him. Remember that?
Yeah.
When we leave this body, will be in the presence of the Lord. The lost will open their eyes in a place of torment. It's going to happen. If you're lost, you're going to know that. And you're not going to have to wait until the final judgment to find it out. You're going to know it before the final judgment. The judgment is going to be made, one judgment, when you die. Right? The determination is made. You know what? You're the one that determines that.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to Hades, Abraham's bosom, right? You're going to be either in a place of paradise or a place of torment until the final judgment. Either way, if you pleased God, it's going to be good. It might not be the heaven that's the final promise, but it's going to be nothing short of that, I believe.
Right.
And the suffering that you incur before the final judgment is going to be none less than the eternal punishment for those who fail to obey and listen to God. The lost will open their eyes in a place of torment, like I said. Luke 16:23. Remember Lazarus and the rich man?
Yeah.
And being in torment in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. I don't want to be there. I don't want to be, so to speak, like we say, on the outside looking in. That's where this rich man found himself. There is judgment also, though, not just for the wicked, for those that are saved. You're still going to have to stand before God, and he's going to have to announce you as a saved one. We must all appear, 2 Corinthians 5:10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one of us may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. What we do now. Does that seem fair to you? What you do now, how you behave now, what you do with this life is going to determine where you spend eternity. Like I said, I'm not even going to get into eternity. There's no illustration that can illustrate it. That's the truth. We've tried it, and even those fall short. But how long do we live? Maybe 100 years. Maybe even a little longer than that, a few folk today. Maybe even 120, some rumors of someone 130. But not much beyond that, if maybe, right? That's short. That's short. That's going to determine where you spend eternity. What you do, how you behave. There's a judgment for those who are unsaved. Revelation 20. We're going to read 11 through 12 and verse 15. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. We have such, as human beings I'm talking about, we have such a misconception, I think, of judgment or what merits salvation and what doesn't. We tend to think that if we do more good than bad, then we're going to be saved. You know what? That's not a Bible concept either. Doesn't matter. You can't do enough good to be saved.
Amen.
We know why? You sinned. Once you sinned, right? Before you became a Christian, at least you sinned. And the reality of it is, even after we become Christians, we sin.
Yeah.
Nobody denies that. There's not one of us here that understands the concept of sin that would say that we don't. So that's a problem that we can't deal with. Cannot deal with. We need God to deal with that. It comes from his mind, the answer to that. And so nothing we do, no matter how good, will make up for.
Amen. Right.
You know, it's like, the illustration I think of is when you break somebody's dish, right? And it's broken on the floor. And then you say, I'm sorry, right? Well, you might be, but the dish is still broken, right? It remains broken. And no amount of sorry fixes that. No amount of good, no amount of good intentions or desire to do right will change the fact that we're broken. And only God can deal that. And you know how he deals with it? He pretends like it didn't happen. That's what grace is. Right? We can avail ourselves of God's grace. He'll pretend like we didn't do it. He won't hold it against us. The judgment of the unsaved now, the unsaved, the judgment only involves condemnation. It's sealed. It's already a done deal. It's just announced. Matthew 25, 31 through 34, verse 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory, and the nations will be gathered around him, and he will separate the people from one another as the shepherd separates sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. And verse 46, though, says, they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. There's no other outcome possible for the unsaved but condemnation. So how can we be prepared to face death and judgment. I started out talking about that a lot of us aren't. Don't let that be true. You know, you have some things that you can do. Of course, we depend on God's grace and mercy ultimately to fulfill it. But we can make ourselves a candidate to receive that. There's some things that we can do that will that God will smile on and grant that blessing unto us. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Now. Receive and obey. You know, some people would just say, well, accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's all you have to do. You know, I would agree with that. But you have to understand what acceptance of Jesus Christ involves. It's not just a mental assent that Jesus is the Son of God. It's way more than that. That's why I say receive and obey. Receive Jesus and obey what He tells us to do. And there's no other way. There's no other way to get there.
Amen.
John 14:6, Jesus answered, "I am the way." I, Jesus said, am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but how?
By me
or through me. If you want to get to heaven where God Almighty dwells, you've got to go through Jesus. He's the door you have to pass through. There's no other. You go through any other door, and there's a lot of other doors, but you're going to end up in the same place, and it's not heaven. It's not where you want to be. It's not where anybody wants to be. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin, death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." That's what sin earns us. And I said a few minutes ago, we all still do it, right? That's what we've earned. You know, we can't earn grace, but we can earn the wages of sin. We can earn death. Jesus faced death for us. And I'm so glad that He did, brothers and sisters. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And you know, when you think about it, if Christ was going to die for humanity, He had to do it while we were still sinners. Because there wasn't one person who wasn't a sinner. He did it while people were still in their sin because He had to do it. Nobody else had what it took.
Amen.
He died for you. He died in your place. The punishment for sin, what we earned is death. His death on the cross paid the price for your sins. And I'm making it personal because it is personal. Of course, it's my sins too. But I want you to take it internally. It's you for your sins that He died. You can't be good enough. You can't be religious enough. You can't be smart enough. You can't be good looking enough. Right? Maybe some of us are pretty good looking, but that's not going to get us to heaven, right?
No.
It won't get us where we want to be. Nothing can pay for your sins. Nothing but the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus faced judgment for us. Isaiah 53, read that. I'm not going to read it right now, but mark it down and read Isaiah 53. It tells us it was Jesus who stood as the guilty one in our place. Our sins were placed, my sins were placed on the account of Jesus. You know, because He didn't have any of His own. That could happen. He could take all of our sins and onto His account because He didn't have to deal with His own sins. He took our punishment. Judgment for Him was, you know, the judgment for Him was our condemnation. Jesus conquered death for us.
Amen.
He beat it. I talked about all the stuff that we can do to try to stay alive or look younger or live longer, and we're still going to die. Well, Jesus beat it. He beat it. He came back from the dead, and He wasn't the first person to come back from the dead, was He? But He's the only person to come back from the dead and never die again. Death was defeated by Jesus Christ. Revelation 1:18 says, I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. 1 Corinthians 15 says that through him we have the victory over the sting of sin and death. We achieve the victory through Christ. We can beat death too. Now, I kept talking a whole sermon long about how we're going to die. Well, that's physically, right? We don't have to die spiritually. Amen. And you know what's wonderful about that? You probably recognize what I recognize. We're looking at each other's bodies here and thinking whatever it is that we might think. And I look over there and I say, well, there's Jeremiah, you know. And you know what? That's not Jeremiah. That's where Jeremiah lives right now. See, that's the thing. The part that's Jeremiah will live on. It will live on in eternity, either in punishment or in a place that's so wonderful that it can't be imagined by the human mind. Amen. Brothers and sisters, treasure every single day that you have on this earth. I mean, treasure it. Savor it. You know, it's kind of like, you ever been on a diet? Yeah. Look, we all grinning. Yeah, we done that. Been there, done that. Yeah. But I'm looking out here saying, I don't see people that need to be on a diet, right?
That's right.
None of us need that. But you know what I'm talking about. You go on a diet and you deprive yourself from these things that you really want to eat. And then one day you decide you're going to eat that thing that you've been craving. And so we know what it is. When you put that in your mouth and you don't just gobble it down. You put it in your mouth and you let it melt. Well, you just savor the flavor, right?
Yummy.
Don't want it to go away. Want it to go away slowly if it goes away at all. You know, make your days like that. Treasure your days like that. Let them melt away slowly, right?
Amen.
Consider what you will do with them. How will you spend? Plan, brothers and sisters. Make a plan. Because if you know what's going to happen to your day if you don't plan? Because I know. I'm a witness. You're going to waste it. Okay? Now, I'm not saying if you plan to waste your day that that's a waste. Because sometimes we need a break, right? But if you don't plan to be productive with your day, you won't.
Amen.
You just won't. Savor every single day. Psalms 90, verse 12 says, so teach us to number our days. That's what the Lord is talking about, numbering your days. See, if we recognize, now think about this. If you knew today was your last day, don't you think you would savor not the day, but the minutes, the seconds, right? Everything you did would be meaningful. You would want it to be as efficient as possible, wouldn't you? Because it's your last day.
Amen.
Well, these are our last days, brothers and sisters. Savor them. If something is a treasure to you, you won't waste it. Don't waste your life. And if you're not serving God, I don't know how to say it any differently, but you are wasting your life because that's the purpose for which you were created, for which you were put on this earth, was to serve God in whatever capacity that you can.
Amen.
The important thing is that you are serving God and that you're looking for where your place is in the kingdom and for what you can do in it. Treasure your days. Be thankful for them. Live each day as if you were going to die at its end.
Amen.
Every day.
Amen.
Make the most of every opportunity. Ephesians 5:16 says, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Only what is done for God will last. I want to say that again. Only what is done for God will last. We hear the expression all the time about stuff. You can't take it with you. You can take that with you. What you do for God is the treasure you lay up in heaven, and it's there waiting for you. True, on this earth, there's no earthly things you can take with you. You know, people put valuable things in graves and crypts sometimes, right? For grave robbers to get, I guess. But the reality is, they still didn't take it with them. There's just a body there, not them. Obeying him. That's what we need to be doing. Make every day one that will be a blessing to the Lord. So when will it come? I don't know. How will it happen? I don't know that either, and neither do you. And that's kind of the point it is. One thing that is for sure, it's coming. I want you to get that in there. It's coming. How will you look death in the eye and when? Only in obedience to Jesus. You know, if you haven't given your life to Jesus, I don't know what's keeping you from doing it. But if you haven't done it and you know that you should, there is something that stands between you and Jesus. And let me tell you, it's not worth it. If it's a person, if it's a concept, or if it's an idea, I don't know what it is, but it's not worth it. Your soul lays in the balance. Think about that. Think about that thing that's keeping you from obeying the gospel, keeping you from going into the water and having your sins washed away. You got to get that thing out of your life, because it will destroy you. You need to obey Jesus. Regardless of what anybody else does, says, or thinks, you know what you need to do. And you need to do it. Because I don't care your age. You might not be around tomorrow. The Lord's given you this day to get it right. Most of us here are Christians. And we know what we should be doing. And we know what we are doing, don't we? And hopefully when we weigh what we should be doing against what we are doing, the scale is balanced. We're doing what we should be doing. Not that we can't do more. But most of us find the scale doesn't balance. You know, what we should be doing is what we should be doing, and it's not what we are doing. But we don't need to stay. You know, we can be lost because of that. That's the point, isn't it? Not doing what you know is right to do is going to cause you to face judgment, and is going to cause you to look God in the eye and say, Lord, I meant to do it. My heart is good. You know my heart, Lord. But yeah, how often have you heard that? Yeah. You know my heart. And Lord God said, yeah, I know your heart. I wasn't in your heart. I wasn't enough influence in your heart for you to do what you know that I've told you to do. Yeah. If you're not right with God, that's the point, right? Get right with God. You need to do it this minute before we leave here. If it doesn't require a public confession, and most of the time, you know what? It doesn't. Sometimes it does, and sometimes we just want to do that because we need the support of brothers and sisters. But the point is, you have a covenant with God. Take advantage of what God has offered you in that covenant and ask him to forgive you, and he will. Whatever your need is, just come forward and let it be known as we sing the song.